On the Gospel of John, chapter number 21. John, chapter number 21. I've been thinking and praying about this for this sermon for a little while. It was on my schedule of in the great questions of the Bible. I thought about changing the message a little bit to deal with some of the things that are going on in the world and about how to trust the Lord and how the Lord can do everything. And you know what? That's found all in the Bible. It's found in all the stories. And tonight's message may have a little bit to do with that. But when I was looking at this story, we're at our next great question of the Bible. The first one was given to Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And it was a question of faith. There was nothing too hard for the Lord. And the amazing thing, as we consider all the things that are going on in the world today, God's teaching people things, and God's helping people, and we can learn from this, and we can grow from that. And if we consider, like our theme is for this year, if we consider these things, man, God can work in our heart in such a special and amazing ways. So that first question was a question of faith. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Last week, we looked at the story of Adam and Eve and talked about, where art thou? And it's a question of location. Where are you at on your spiritual journey? Where are you at in your spiritual walk? Are you closer to him today? Are you farther away? And sometimes you turn around, you look up and say, where in the world? How did I get here? Adam, I'm sure, and Eve, hiding in the midst of the trees, looked around and he hears the voice. And they said, hey, we were afraid. They were ashamed. They were afraid. They were naked. And then they begin to do what? Blame one another. It's a question of location. Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? And are you serving him with that type of capacity? And the next question is that Jesus sits down and he has a conversation with some of his disciples by the seaside. Now, at this point in time, Jesus has been crucified. He has been buried. He's been risen again. He's already appeared to his disciples. And he's interested in all the disciples, but he has one specific question that he's given to Peter today. And he asks it three different times in three different forms. But it's a question that is sincere and a question that we should all take to heart. And it's, lovest thou me? He looks at Peter, and you can imagine this personal conversation. When we go back, I know most people here today, there's not really anybody visiting for the first time, per se, so they know a little bit about the Bible. Remember, Peter was the one that said, they'll all betray you. I'll never betray you. He said, I'm willing to die for you. All these other guys, they might. But Jesus said, you're going to betray me, three times before the night ends. And then later on, Peter was the one that was warming his hands by the fire. And then what does he do? He denies him. Excuse me, denying. Not betraying, denies Christ, and as he denies him, and then Jesus loves him, meets him after a resurrection, wants to make sure Peter understands, hey, look, you're still able to serve, and even though we do something wrong, even though sometimes we mess up, God's still got a plan and a purpose for you. He comes over here, and he asks Peter three different times and three different ways, lovest thou me? And what a sincere question I think we need to consider for ourselves. Do we love him? I'm thinking, yeah, of course I love him. As Peter here obviously has a love for Christ, but Jesus is trying to remind him that. He's trying to give him this thought process and this question. Do you love me? You ever felt that way? Hopefully you've never had to look at your mate and say, I'm not sure if you really love me anymore or not. But you know what? That happens. Sometimes the husband looks at a wife and says, because of your actions, because of the things you've done, do you truly love me? A wife might look at the husband and says, because of the things that you're saying and doing, it makes me wonder and ponder this question, do you love me? And Jesus is there, and he's speaking to Peter, who's had some struggles, who had some hardships, who had some failures, and he's looking at him. He's trying to call him back into ministry. He's giving him, hey, I got a plan for you, Peter, but before you can really truly serve me the way you should, I need to know this. So, Pastor, he's God. He already knows that. Yeah, he does know that. Who needs to know it? Peter needs to know it. Remember, when God's asking these questions, he's not trying to gather information. Peter even says, Lord, thou knowest all things. He says, Lord, you already know my heart. You know that I have this type of love for you. And that's what Jesus wants him to remember and asking him to remember and considering all these things. And today I'd like to sit there and just think for a little while, lovest thou me? If Jesus could sit next to you and say, lovest thou me? Maybe put his arm around you and talk about you, because he knows, talk to you. He knows you've been through a lot. If he's walking up and down the aisles and he comes and you have a one-on-one conversation, if Jesus looked at you today and said, hey, do you love me? What would he say? And then you know how God, only God can do. He says, well, let's go back and look at this past week. Let's go back and see what this past week was like. And let's see how much you really, truly love me. How many times did you talk to me? How many times did you commune with me? Meaning not just you praying to him. It's communing, speaking. Let him speak to your heart. You speak in his word. How many times did you talk about me to somebody else? And so that question, lovest thou me? In the last week, did I really show my love for Christ? Of course, her answer is going to be like, Peter, yay, Lord, you know I love you. But he's asking us this question this morning to try to get to our hearts and minds. Do I love him like I should? So to get to this passage, we're going to look a little bit at the whole story, the whole concept here. I'm going to go through the story pretty quickly because we want to get to these questions as a solemn question. But let's jump in here. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter number 1, Peter decides to go fishing. He takes some of his other disciples, takes some of the other disciples with him. Some people give Peter a hard time for this. He's waiting for what God wants him to do next, what Christ is calling him to do next. And they go out and they're fishing all night long. They're fishermen. So many people look at this and say, well, Peter's just forsaking the ministry. He's going back to what he used to do. He's wrong for doing that. I don't know if I give Peter such a hard time. He's sitting here. He's waiting. Jesus wants to speak to him. And so Jesus comes to him in verse number 4. And so they've been fishing all night. And as they've been fishing all night, they caught nothing. There's a couple things that are frustrating about fishing. First of all, I'm not a big fisherman. Some of you are. I think that's great. A couple things about fishing is to take all your time, all your energy, and all your effort to catch nothing. That's a very frustrating thing. Second thing that's more frustrating than that is when someone comes up to you and says, did you catch anything? In all reality, the frustrating when you have to say no, that's even more frustrating. I've been on a dock before, and I went there with somebody, and we're walking up and down the dock, just looking around, and this guy I'm with is stopping and asking everybody, hey, caught anything? You catch anything? And they're responding. I'm thinking, and he says, that's something fishermen do. They want to communicate with one another. They want to, what type of bait are you using? What's running? What are you catching? All those different things. That day we were there on the dock, we were asking, pretty much nobody caught anything. And I'm thinking in my mind, why are you wasting your time if there's nothing to be caught? And in their mind, the fisherman guy's like, man, they love it. They love walking. They just love fishing. And I don't get that, but I think it's great that somebody walked up to almost everybody. And, hey, you catch anything? You catch anything? And most of the responses are no. Here in the story, Jesus is there and he's standing on the seashore. They don't recognize it as Jesus at this moment in time. He calls out to them, hey, do you have any meat? Let's look what it says in verse number 4. But when the morning was now come, meaning they fished all night and didn't catch anything. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Remember, he's at a distance. It's probably still night turning to day, not able to see. And then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now there were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Now, I don't know about you, but that is something special to me. You know what that tells me? Number one, God knows where the fishes are. Number two, God knows how to get the fishes in the net. And number three is we should listen to the Lord. So when I was trying to figure out, how to encourage us today, we can trust in the Lord, encourage us today with all the different crazy things and chaos that's happening in some parts of the world and some grocery stores. This tells us this. Guess what? God knows where the fishes are. God knows how to get them. He could have just created that group of fishes just to put in that net. He's the one that told them to stay away all night long so they could realize in their service and their working, they're going to be frustrated not serving the Lord. They're going to be frustrated going back to their worldly means. They're going to be frustrated doing anything else than what they've already said they're willing to do for the Lord. But I'm encouraged by this because I know I serve a God that can do all things. I serve a God that is trustworthy. I serve a God that knows everything I'm going through. He knew they didn't have any meat. He said, well, why would he ask if they have any meat? Is he rubbing it in? No, he's trying to teach them something. And when we come into these great questions of the Bible, God asks this question. God speaks to our hearts sometimes about certain things. He's not asking us because he needs our help figuring it out. He's asking us these things because he wants to help us figure it out. And that's when he comes to these questions and he looks to Peter and he says, lovest thou me? Is this something that you really, really understand and know? So let's skip down a few verses there, and let's go to Peter jumps out of the ship. Peter gets, puts on his fishing gear and fisher's coat, and he jumps out of the ship. He swims all the way up to where Jesus is at. And it says in verse number 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish lay thereon and the bread. And once again, there are so many different things. I know we've preached out this passage before, probably a few times since I've been the pastor, but there's so many things in here. But we're trying to focus in on this idea of Jesus asking him, lovest thou me? Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Great illustration. God uses what you have. God uses what's in your hand. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153 and three. And for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. Another illustration there. You know, God's able to give you a net that's going to hold. If you get caught, if you're a fisher of men and you catch somebody, he's going to be able to hold it without the net breaking. Verse 12. Jesus saith unto him, come and dine. He says, hey, come, partake. What a wonderful illustration there. It talks about salvation. Hey, you can come, you can dine. It's available to all. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? They're able to recognize it. They know who it is. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. So he serves them. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So this is no surprise. They know exactly what's going on. This is Jesus. He's teaching them. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So he asks this first question. Now, this word that Jesus uses is a divine type of love. It is the highest form of love. He looks at it and says, do you love me? And it's the word agape. It talks about agapos. And it says, is this the way? Do you love me with this divine type of love? The only way that God can make us able to love. Do you love me with the extreme? Do you love me to the extreme, Peter? And he says, do you have this type of love? Is it the type of love that God has for us? He says, is that the type of love that you have for me? And then look how Peter responds. Now, in the Greek, it's different. There's many times people call the English language a very it's a cheap language or a beggar's language. They use the word love for three, and in the Bible, you see in the King James Bible, the word love is represented in three different ways. There's the agape, and there's the phileo, and then there's the other third one. And the secondary one is the one that Peter responds with. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he responds, he says, he asks, hey, do you love me this much? And Peter responds, you know, I love you this much. It's like a brotherly love. It's like a like. One of the Bible commentaries says, over here it's really describing someone who loves you. And over here the way Peter's describing is, hey, I really like you. There's a difference there. Jesus looking at him says, hey, do you love me the way that you used to say you did? Do you love me? And then he uses this phrase, more than these. He says, lovest thou me more than these? And it's two different schools of thoughts there, and both schools of thoughts are really good. And we're going to look at it a little bit more in a second. The first thing is, all these fish are there. He has decided to go back to fishing, and Jesus could be there, and he's talking maybe to the group. He's saying it in front of the disciples, possibly, and saying, hey, lovest thou me more than these? You know, this is what you went back to. Remember, you couldn't do anything on your own. You spent all night fishing. You couldn't catch. But do you love me more than this? And what a wonderful thought there. We're going to come to it in a little while. Do we love the Lord more than whatever that is? Do we love the Lord more than our family? Do we love the Lord more than a relationship? Do we love the Lord more than we love our sports? Do we love the Lord more than we love, you know, all those different things? He comes to us and he sits down with us and he has a conversation with us and he's looking at Peter and he says, hey, Peter, do you love me more than these? You went back to fishing. He says, I go back to fishing. And he says, it could apply to this. Peter, do you love me more than these? Talking about the other disciples that are there. Because it was Peter the other night that said, hey, I'm never going to forsake you. Now, they'll all forsake you. He's looking at all those other ones. He says, you might question the love that these other guys have for you, but me. He said, I got this. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to deny you. I love you too much for that. And that's what Jesus could be reminding him. He said, do you really love me more than these? You said you did before. Do you truly mean that? And why is he asking Peter this? Is he trying to rub something in Peter's face? Now, Peter here he's struggling. He's thinking about going back to fishing. And he knows that Peter has a desire and a love for him. And he's trying to remind him, Peter, you love me here. Remember that. There's a call I have in your life. There's a purpose to your life. Now, let's get these convictions. Let's get these comparisons straight. Now, do you love me more than these fish?
And stop comparing it to everybody else. Don't worry about what John's love is and what Philip's love is and what Nathaniel's love is. He says, do you love me more than these? He's trying to teach him something. And let's keep on going. And he responds, he saith unto him, in verse number 15, feed my lambs. He gives him a job to do. He says, look, if you truly love me, now do what I'm telling you to do. Now, I notice there's a couple of things here. Once again, you could dive into this and you could look at the different three responses, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed, you know, you can look at these different ways and different words that are used to the word feed. Some of them are given the idea of a leadership role as a pastor, and some are given the idea of feeding the flock, and some are, the lambs is referring to a younger group and the more immature, you know, all those different things. But we're going to focus here that there's a reaction that Jesus says. If you love me this way, then you will do this. Lovest thou me more than these? He says, yeah, you know I love you. He says, well, then feed my lambs. One thing I wanted to bring into clarification there, he says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. It's the word my. It's not ours. This is not my church. This is not your church. It's our church. I know sometimes I tell people that all the time. Yesterday there was somebody there and we were talking and we were saying, and the person says, well, you know, in your church, I said, no, this is not your church. This is our church. But more than anything, this is God's church. This is God's work. He says, if you love me, then I want you to feed my sheep. He's saying it's his. Peter, don't go out treating my people, my sheep, the way you think they should. They're not yours, Peter. They're mine. You know, and I know sometimes it's God's people. And sometimes people say, this is your church. You know, it is God's church. And this is the way we do it. We treat one another the way we should. Don't be going out and treating his family member, his sons and his daughters in a way that is inappropriate, in a way that is wrong. They're God's kids. I wouldn't want to go messing around with some of God's children. I see how sometimes people treat other people, and I'm thinking, whoo, you might be worried and upset about that person's parents, but man, you should be worried about how you're treating that. They're God's kids too. So remember that. He says, mine. So look in verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So it's a different question. He says, more than these, but he asks the same word with the same agape style of love. Hey, do you love me to this extreme? And he says, you know I really like thee. He uses the word love here, but it's the same phileo type of love that's distinguished there. He's not willing to rise up to that high love that Jesus is asking about. And then he says, he saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now he changes the word love here from being the agape to the phileo love here. He comes down to Peter. He comes down to Peter saying, hey, yes, I really like thee. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time. Now, you say, well, why is he grieved? Number one, sometimes people think the three times goes for the three times he denied him. He's reminding him three times that he denied him. Others, and I probably lean to this, he's grieved in his heart the fact that God has to ask him if he's really telling the truth. And that's when Peter says, and he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. And see, and that's the wonderful thing. If we catch that, God, you know it all. You know, with this virus thing that's going on, and if he knows where the fish are at, and he can put them in the net, man, God can do anything. Lord, you know it all already. Yes, I need to cast my cares upon you. Yes, I need to use common sense. Yes, but I don't need to be fearful. I have a God that I love, and I have a God that I can trust in. And he says, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. He says, look, I know you know I love them. Why are you asking me this? It's because he wants Peter to be thinking. He wants Peter, you know all this. You know that I love you. You know that you have a love and an affection for me. Now, I got a job for you. Stop wasting your time fishing. There's something there. If you truly want to demonstrate your love towards me, the Bible talks about not loving in word and in tongue, but instead in deed and in truth. He's saying, Peter, you say that you have this great affection for me, but guess what? You're slipping up here. And he's reminding him of that. If we went around the room and say, how many of us love the Lord? Probably all of us would raise our hand, but Jesus is coming to you personally and hopefully speaking to your heart and saying through the Holy Spirit, do you love me like you should? Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? And then he has to come to the point and he has to lower himself down. Okay, Peter, you're saying that you love me, but do you really like me that way? And then he says in verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by the death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So he tells him, you know what, Peter? Someday you're going to give your life for me. Someday you're going to die for me. And then look, it says in verse 19, that he should glorify God. And you're going to glorify God this way. Now, Peter, if you truly love me like you're saying you are, follow me. Because I want you to follow me. And then it continues on. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now, some people think that Jesus had this conversation in front of the disciples. Sometimes people think that Jesus got up and they were walking down the coast and John was just there. And you see the disciple, he turns around, they see John there, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? He's recognizing who it is. He's speaking about John the Beloved, the author of this book. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Peter messes up again. He's like, okay, you told me I'm going to die. What about that guy? And then the Lord responds to him. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He looks at him and says, that's none of your business. And so many times we compare what happens to us and everybody else all around and say, hey, what about that person? What about that person? What about, and he says, you don't worry about them. He says, you follow me. And that's where he comes at, and he specifically says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So here's a couple things I want you to think about today. And I really want you to have an intimate conversation. And you say, well, I can't do that in church. I got to listen. That's fine. Maybe afterwards, I think it could happen during a service. The Holy Spirit of God speak to you. And he asks you this question, lovest thou me? Jesus saying to your heart today, do you love me that way? And he comes, just as he was maybe amongst Peter with the other disciples when he says all these, and then he takes Peter off to the side and he's walking down the coast and he's having this conversation with him. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? And then he has to change the love word because Peter's not willing to rise up to that much. And I know Peter was boastful before, but God is humbling Peter and saying, look, I know that you're humble. I know that you're saying that I don't love you that much because the last time you said that, the last time you made those aspirations, you made a fool of yourself and you sinned and you talked down about everybody else. You made yourself look good and you warmed yourself by the fire and then you denied me and then you went out and you wept bitterly. Now you're having questions and doubts whether or not you can even serve me. And Jesus is calling him back into service. He says, hey, look, I got something for you to do. So here's the first thing I want you to think about. It was a solemn question. It was a solemn question. Oh, sorry about that. It was a solemn question. Lovest thou me? He wasn't asking Peter, hey, look, do you fear me? He wasn't asking Peter, do you admire me? He wasn't even asking Peter, do you adore me? He wasn't even asking Peter about his faith. Do you have faith in me? Do you trust in me? No, he was asking this question is, do you love me? He's not telling this Peter for his own information. And sometimes if a husband looks at a wife and that maybe they've been married for many years and because she did something and maybe she's acting a little bit goofy or a little bit off, you look at him, do you still love me? Many times he's not looking for that. He's just telling her, this is how I feel. The way you're treating me makes me feel like you don't love me anymore. And here Jesus is saying to Peter, hey, you've got something mixed up, something kind of screwed up here a little bit, Peter. You're over here and you're fishing, but you're saying that you have this great affection for me. There was a day when you left all, you forsook all to follow after me. What's going on, Peter? Do you truly love me? And I'm wondering when the things in our life are going, and when we view what happened this past week or what happened this past month or what happened this past year, do we say, and the Holy Spirit saying, lovest thou me? And Peter's response, yeah, thou knowest that I love thee. But it's something that we should probe. It's a question that we should ask ourselves. It's something that we should take to heart, something we should be listening to. I mean, lovest thou me? And then last 2 weeks ago when we talked about, is there anything too hard for God? That wasn't just for Sunday morning. You're supposed to take it. He said, yeah, Pastor, you talked about it a little bit Sunday. No. You're supposed to take that home with you and consider it throughout the week. That's what the great questions of the Bible are about. Okay, no, there is nothing too hard for God. Okay, last week was, where art thou? Or are you in a spot where you're hiding amongst the trees and you're a little bit ashamed and you need to get some things right? Stop blaming other people. And this whole week, where am I at in my spiritual life? Where am I, where I'm supposed to be spiritually, financially, physically? And we come to this question. I want you to take this home with you. I want you to hear God asking you this question: lovest thou me? And so the first thing I want you to think about is a Solomon question. The second thing I want you to think about is we've been commanded to love him. You say, Pastor, you know, you're making a kind of big deal. Peter's a big deal. He's, you know, head of the disciples or apostles. He preached at Pentecost and thousands were saved. God used him with miracles, all these fancy things. I mean, of course he's going to ask Peter, what does that have to do with me? Well, in the scriptures, we're told to love God. And we're not just told to have a phileo love. He's not told to have a, hey, I have a great like for you. You ever had a crush on a girl or a guy and you go up to them and says, I love you. How do you feel? And it's like, I kind of like you too. It's crushing. And when you were a kid, you wrote these little things. I love you. Do you love me? Yes, no, maybe. You send the pass that note along. Of course, I never did any of those things. You know, all the girls always loved me a whole big bunch, so I didn't have to worry about that. So maybe not. But we're commanded to love him. I mean, we're commanded. Look, listen to what it says. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Someone asked Jesus there, so he's trying to trick him up. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. I mean, it is something we're commanded. He is coming and he's saying, first and foremost, the most important thing here, remember when we looked at last month before missions conference, we talked about the love of God, and the only way that we can truly love this world is with the love of God. And we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're bringing it full circle here and saying, okay, you've been commanded to love the Lord your God. Now he's looking at you and saying, do you truly love me? Lovest thou me? That's a solemn question. Second thing is, we've been commanded to love him. Third thing I want you to think about is just the phrase, more than these. You go back into scripture and it says here in verse number 15, lovest thou me more than these? And I began thinking and just meditating on that a little bit this week. And I began thinking about some of the things I love. And there are things that I love besides God. Now, God gives me a perfect love to love other things and other people. And there's in the right priorities and right things, I think he wants us to love our wives. He tells us to do that. He wants us to love our kids. I began thinking about my wife. And I began thinking about my sons. I began thinking about my ministry here. Some of you, not all of you. I can't love all of you. It was a joke again. It's a love. Remember we said the Bible says we have to love one another. It doesn't say we have to like one another. I think there's a little, it doesn't use that phrase. It says we're supposed to love one another. But there's some people that you might just not, you know, click with. And you're supposed to love them. And you're supposed to get along with them. You're supposed to be able to serve with them. But they might not be your best friend. But I began thinking about my ministry here. I began thinking about, you know, what other things I love and enjoy. I love my country. I love my extended family. There are a lot of different things. And I began thinking about non-essential things. I really enjoy certain sports. I don't play them as much as I used to, but I enjoy them. There are certain things I might enjoy watching. There might be certain things that I enjoy reading. There might be certain things I began thinking about all these things, and Jesus was asking me this question this week. He says, hey, do you love me more than that TV show? I see you spend a lot of time, and I don't really spend a lot of time on watching TV, but you know, I see you watching that. You love me more than Facebook? Facebook's not my thing, so it's easy for me to preach on Facebook because I don't really care about it. I don't even really know what Twitter is. So, I mean, that's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and these are probably things from 20 months ago. They're probably not even popular nowadays, but the question is, do you love me more than Facebook? I heard one preacher say, you need to get off of Facebook and get your face in the book, talking about the Bible. They got so much time in Facebook. Yeah, get off Facebook and get in the book. Yeah, you know, get your face in the book. And I thought that was good. But it's the thought there. What did I spend the most time last week doing? Do you love me more than that music? And once again, the godly music can lift you up. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a tool that God uses, but not all of us listen to godly music. I wish we would. You love me more than that book. You love me more than that relationship. You love me more than that sport. And you might say, yeah, I can preach against the Steelers. Whatever is great. But the question is, when my priorities get out of whack, God's sitting there and asks you, do you love me more than these? Peter was a fisherman, and I guess that's a reasonable question. Do you love me more than fishing? Do you love me more than hunting? Do you love me more than, you know, whatever it is that has a great affection and great hold on your heart? Do you love me more than that friend? Sometimes there's friends that will hurt your relationship with God. You know, God's coming and he's saying to Peter, he's using the example of the fisher, he's using the example of the other disciples, he's teaching them the question, do you love me more than this? I deserve it. I've been commanded to love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. And the scriptures even tell you over and over the questioning and seeing your love and how much you love. Would you be willing to give up that thing or that person for God? Now, don't get me wrong. If you're married, he's not asking you to give up your husband or wife. I know some of you might be saying, here, I'll give up my husband. No, he's not asking that. But he's saying those different things that are things in your life and priorities in your life. Lovest thou me more than these? Does that hold a greater affection? And once again, it can be any type of sport. It can be car racing. It can be any type of hobby. It can be something where you just enjoy driving. I don't care what it is. You know what those things that you hold dear. You know those things that you mean a lot to you. Sometimes it's a position. Sometimes it's a ministry. Sometimes people have this ministry thought, and this is my ministry. It's not, you know, it's God's ministry, and it's, do you love me more than that? And so, remember that night, and I'll go back and just show you that night when he said, more than these, talking about the other, if he was talking about the other disciples, he says, Peter answered, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus responded, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crew, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. There's a comparison he's making here too. If he's talking about disciples, Peter, stop trying to compare your love to everybody else. I want you to focus on your love. And I want you to think about, how do you love? You know, I love you more than the guy that's over there, and I love you. He says, you follow me. Let's keep on going. And the next thing is, there should be a reaction to this love. Not only is there a solemn question, we've been commanded to love him, we think of the thought about more than these, there's a reaction to this love. And there's a reaction here. He says, feed my lambs. He says, feed my sheep. He says, feed my sheep. There should be a reaction. If you say, okay, Pastor, I'm hearing God speak to my heart. Yes, he's asking me, do I love him? My response is, I love him and I want to love him more. Then there's a reaction. There's something you should be doing. There should be something, if you love him more than these, there should be something, who really cares about a sport if it hurts my relationship with God? Who really cares about this relationship if it hurts my relationship with God? Who cares about trying to save up and being rich if that hurts my relationship? You know, a job can be that. Whatever it is, if there is something that is hurting my relationship with God, I need to step back and I need to say, there should be a reaction. I should be serving him. If I love him, like he's asking me, and I'm saying, yay, Lord, you know that I love the, and he's what he's saying to Peter here. Okay, you said it. Now, you've said it three different times that you have love for me. You even said, Lord, you know inside my heart, you know that I love thee. Now, I want you to demonstrate it. Do this. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. He had a responsibility. And now, Peter was going to be a pastor. Not all of us are pastors. If everybody was a pastor, who would be sitting in the congregation, right? And not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. But he's calling Peter into ministry. Peter, I got great plans for you. I got a great purpose for you. I got something I want you to do. Now that you say that you love me, now we got that straight. Now do this. I think that if we were honest, if we say that we love him, there should be reaction. We should read our Bibles. We should pray. We should serve. We should give. We should witness. We should do the things. There should be a reaction. And if you're not doing those things, there's something wrong. And that's why he's saying to him, lovest thou me? He said, Peter, what are you doing back fishing? if you love me, then there should be a reaction. You should be training for this purpose. Last but not least, our love is not dependent upon others. Our love is not dependent upon others. I remember reading through and studying this, and when we went through the book of John, I don't know how many years ago on Sunday mornings, I remember when God spoke to my heart about verse 22. When he looked at Peter and says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He says, don't go worrying about everybody else's love. Don't go worrying about what I'm going to do with this person, and I'm going to do with this person, and I'm going to do with this person, and I'm going to do with this person. He says, I'm talking to you right now. Now, many of us would sit there and say, you know what? I think that God should sit down and have a conversation with this person and that person. And when we're sitting there and God's trying to speak to our heart, hey, do you love me? You're thinking, well, I wonder if this person loves me. I wonder if that person truly loves. I see how he acts. I see how he's not really here every single service. I see how she dresses, and I see how this happens and that happens. Ooh, I wonder if they really love. That's, you're missing the whole point. Jesus is looking at Peter, and Peter, he said, Peter, I'm focusing in on you. I want you to figure out this is the type of love you need to have. And Peter, this is going to cost you your life. And Peter, your death is going to glorify God. Now, go and do what I've called you to do. And he's like, what about that guy? And he says to him, he says, thou follow me. Follow thou me. He says, it doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. I want you to love me the way you're supposed to. Doesn't matter if everybody else turns their back. Doesn't matter if everybody else goes crazy during this pandemic and goes and buys 20,000 bottles of liquid hand sanitizers. He says, I want you to love me. I was reading on the internet yesterday an article. This on here. I was reading in an article, and this guy had went and he had cleared out like three counties of hand sanitizers back in the middle of February. And he went on to sell them on Amazon. And it was something that he was going to, he was gouging the prices, selling $2 tree bottles for 20 bucks. And he thought he was doing the world a favor. And now he has 27,000 bottles left over. He doesn't know what to do with them because no one's allowing him to sell them because he was selling it for too high of a price. And you know, sometimes people do crazy things. And if we spend the rest of our lives worrying about everybody else's crazy things or how much they love or what God's doing with that person, what God's doing with that person, you know what we're going to do? We're going to miss the whole purpose of why we're here. Stop worrying about, hey, why isn't that person doing this? And why isn't that person doing that? And why isn't that? You know, leave that up to God. Now, obviously, there's leadership requirements. Obviously, there are certain things that, as a pastor, there's certain things we ask when you're a church plant. You know, don't even come up to me and say, well, you make it. Don't even start with that. What I'm saying to you is stop worrying about everybody else's love for God when you are struggling with your own love with the Lord. And believe me, when you fall in love with him, you have your eyes on him. Everything else is something that, hey, I need to pray for that person. I need to stop gossiping so much, and I need to start praying for that person instead. You know, and Jesus is coming and he's saying, hey, do you love me that way? So as we leave this week, I want you to think about this. Lovest thou me? And Jesus is asking that question. He's asking, he says, do you love me more than this person? Do you love me the way that you should? And if you do, then I want to see you react. Stop saying they're sacrifices. You know, there are certain things I would do for my wife and I would do for my children, certain things I would do for my church family. That is a pleasure to serve. It's a pleasure to do. You might say, oh, no, that's a sacrifice. No, it's a privilege. Why is that? It's because I love them. So why in the world does it seem like it's a sacrifice to give up things for God when he asks us? It is a privilege because I love him. But if we have the wrong love, then we're going to have the wrong focus. So today, this morning, let God ask you this question. Lovest thou me? And then give him a chance to respond. Let him speak to your hearts. Like you said, well, I'm willing to get up, lovest thou me more than my, and I'm willing to give this up. It doesn't matter what we're willing to give up. It matters what's messing with our relationship. It's sort of like getting married to somebody.
and still trying to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. That's wrong, isn't it? That's just messed up. And so like, yeah, I love God, but I want to keep this person on the side. I want to keep this activity on the side. I want to do this on the side. No. There's a love in the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our might. And then God creates a desire for us to love certain things, and we can enjoy certain things. But they can come nowhere in comparison to what God means to me, because I love him. Lovest thou me. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Do you know Christ this morning? You say, why in the world should I love him so much? It's because he loved you first.